Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for just this opportunity, I hope, to minister, to help, to heal, to encourage, Lord, those that may be just going through a particularly difficult time. Thank you for what you've done in my life through the study of this subject of being overwhelmed. And Lord, thank you for giving David, Lord, those life experiences, Lord, that caused him then to be prepared to pen these inspired words. Lord, help us to understand there's nothing that you're going to ask us to go through or for that's not for an ultimate purpose and to achieve an ultimate goal for you and the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to use the time that we spend shrouded in darkness in finding you, and help us to remain faithful. And then, Lord, as you bring us out to the light, help us to look around and be able to use those experiences to help others. I would ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us. Encourage, Lord, God's people this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The pastor I was with for a couple of days of this week opened his heart up a little bit to me, and of course, things I can't share, but one of the things, two of the situations he told me about was people in his church that were going through just absolute times of what must seem to them utter darkness. You just pick up the phone. You just get the directory out. Just call whatever preacher you want to call. You know what? God's people is under attack. You won't find a church anywhere where everybody's, hey, you got any problems? No, everything's great. Everybody's on the top side. Nobody's going through anything. No, you're not going to find that. Not in this day and age. You know, the honest truth is, folks, this subject of being overwhelmed, David was well familiar with. If you read the life of David, there was times when it just must seem the whole world came to an end. Some of it sometimes was of his own doing. Some of it was he was just literally an innocent bystander and somebody else's evil. But we live in an evil world. We live in a dark time. There's a lot of Christians that are just getting to the point where they think, you know what, I can't see. I don't know my right hand from my left. I don't know forward from backwards. I pray and it seems like heaven's brass. And I read the Bible and it seems like I don't understand it. And it used to shine and now everything's dim. Let me just say this. God will allow you to go through those times, but he wants you to go through them. He wants you to go through them. We defined overwhelmed. That's an interesting word. We see it found in verse number 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And there's just going to be times in your Christian life that you get overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed means to shroud, to clothe, to be covered in darkness, to languish, to fail, to faint, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. And there's just times when there is, I believe it's demonic, I believe that it is satanic, but there's times when the devil just creates a set of circumstances, and for whatever reason, God opens the hedge a little and allows him access into our life, and we have to walk through times of just utter darkness. And we talked about the crucifixion. We talked about how part of Christ's crucifixion was 3 hours of darkness, and yet we're commanded to be crucified with Christ, and we think we should never walk through darkness. That's part of the crucifixion process. We see great men in the Bible, great men of history, great preachers, missionaries, God's people. Most of you could stand and tell personal stories of times where you just had to go. God allowed you to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what that shadow is, and you know it's dark. Symptoms David describes in Psalm 55. You become convinced that you're divinely forsaken. You go through utter sadness and despair. You can, if you're not careful, begin to believe that everyone's against you. You start suffering physical maladies, psychological maladies, physical attacks, often with no doctor's explanation. All of these are things David talked about in the Psalms. Emotionally touched by the darkness, mentally touched by the darkness, sleeplessness, loss of appetite, a desire to flee and a desire to hide. You begin to pray for those wings he was praying for. Lord, just help me to sprout wings so I can fly off to the ends of the earth somewhere and hide somewhere and just never come out again. And I think most of us that have any life experience have been there a few times. Now, Psalm 61 is very unique. We've spent a lot of time on defining, going over the symptoms. We're not going to review all of that. But Psalm 61 is very unique in the fact that I believe it contains a formula that if we follow the Bible formula, it will lead us from the darkness into the light. It will help us to endure and to profit from those times that we are overwhelmed. Let me review real quickly and talk about what we've already covered. And let me just say this for those of you that maybe haven't had the opportunity to be here for all of the services. If you will go back to back and talk to the men in the tape room, I think this is the fifth message. We preached five messages on this. I'd get this set of messages. Say, Brother Jerry, everything's fine. I'd get this set of messages. You know, and we were laughing the other day, some of us. Somebody said to us, used the word never. You know, let me give you a good context to use the word never. Never say never. That's about the only time you want to say never in any kind of sentence. Somebody said something about, well, things I'm doing every day of my life that I swore I'd never do. I said, I think when we say never, God takes it as a dare. I think the Lord just smiles and says, oh, yeah? Okay. You know what? The honest truth is we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We have no idea. I mean, the person in this room that's on the victory side and the sun's never shone brighter and the mountain's never been more precious, by the end of this week, you could be in the darkest valley of your life. We just don't know. One phone call can change an entire life. One event. So listen very carefully, because there's going to be times that we are asked. We are asked to go through these times of being overwhelmed. And God does it because He wants to put some things in us. Let me go through this, Psalm 61. First of all, I gave you this little formula. Let me just review. Number one, kneel down. Kneel down. This is talking about submitting to the breaking process. Yes, we need to be broken. Yes, Christians, at times we just need to be broken. You see, unbroken Christians never weep. Unbroken Christians don't have much compassion. Unbroken Christians don't have much mercy on people going through things. You show me the one that's been overwhelmed the most, and I'll show you the one that's probably cries the most and is the most compassionate and the first one to reach out to someone else. You know, we need the breaking process. So number one, kneel down, submit to it. Number two, cry out. Let me again remind you, Psalm 143 is a prayer and ought to be prayed during the overwhelming process. I was going to show you this when we taught on that. I think I failed to. But you know the verse where David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Pray and cry aloud and He will hear my voice. That verse is in a time of being overwhelmed, a psalm written when David was being overwhelmed. Can I give you this thought? I'm not sure if you're going through times of intense darkness. You ought to purposely schedule three times a day, evening, morning, and noon, to open your Bible to Psalm 143 and to pray that prayer. Because there's great strength in that prayer. It's there. It's written down. It's for you to use during times of being overwhelmed. So number one, kneel down, submit. Number two, cry out. Number three, seek that heart after God. Now, you're going to feel during this time that God's forsaken you. But you know what? That's not true. He's right there with you. You have to spend extra time reading your Bible, extra time praying, extra time seeking the face of God. These verses in Psalm 61 encourages us to start climbing. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It encourages us to seek shelter in God's presence and to trust the Lord This is the time you want to go hard after God, not run away from God. This is the time where you need to pursue Him like you've never pursued Him before. Because in the darkness is where you'll find Him in a way you've never found Him before. You just talk about those, talk to those three Hebrew children when you get to heaven. And say, let me ask you this. When you were here on earth, when's the only time you got to see Jesus? And you know what they'll say? In the midst of the fiery furnace. And so, folks, there's times you're going to find God and see God in a special way like you've never seen before, and that doesn't happen usually on the mountaintop. It almost always happens in the valley. So seek hard after God. Number four, we preached an entire message on remembering your vows. Remember your vows. Psalm 61, verse 5, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows." It's important that in the light we learn to make vows so that in the darkness we'll have something that will guide us through the dark times. I believe it's important for Christians to make vows. I think we ought not to make them flippantly. But I think it's important we make vows. You know, I don't have to make a vow about this because I intend to always do it anyway. Yeah, but in the darkness, you don't even know which way's up. And there's times you go through the darkness, and you know what? All you're going to have is your promises that you made to God and some promises that He's made to you. And you know what? If you have vows that you've made when you don't know what else to do, you know what you do? You go back and say, what did I promise God in the light? And you keep those promises. And you know what? Those promises will lead you back into the light. Remember your vows. Number five, we talked about this last Sunday night. Revisit your heritage. Your heritage. And this is talking about understanding a larger view of who we are, of history. We're another begat. The world didn't start the day you were born. It's not going to end the day you die. That word heritage has the picture of a stream flowing. You know what? We're given a time where we stand in the midst of the stream of the timeline of God. And you know what? Before us were some people that went through hard things and some people that passed down some things to us. And for a while we received those things and we possessed those things. But listen to me, don't lose your faith during the dark time because at one point, you've got to pass down whatever you have done, whatever you are, to another generation that needs to be able to look and see somebody that stood strong during hard times. So remember your heritage. Now, we're going to get into this morning's message. That's the first 5 points. Let me quickly cover what God wants us to finish out with here. There's 10 steps here. I'm going to give you the last 5. Chapter 61, look at verse number 6. This is very, very encouraging. What's number 6, Brother Jerry? Realize God is not done with you yet. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, so listen quick. Verse 6, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations." You know what David realized in the midst of the darkness? This isn't it. This isn't the end. Now, there's going to be a day where David enters a valley, and you know what? When he comes out of that valley, he will come out of that darkness into the light, but that light will be celestial light. It'll be heaven. But at this point of this writing, you know what David realized? God's not done with me yet. Let me tell you how you can figure out if God's done with you yet. Look up here. I'm going to teach you something. Man, this is good. How do I know if God's just flat done with me? Okay, I can tell you whether or not He is right now. Check your pulse. Put your finger there a second. Okay, all right, got that? Now, later on, go to a mirror and go, okay, that's it. That's the 2 ways to check. All right. If you felt a beat, you felt a heartbeat, and you saw vapor on the mirror, God's not done with you yet. And we get in the darkness, we're just become convinced. The devil convinced it's just over. I mean, God can never use me, and look at this mess, and I'll never be. No. Listen, if God was done with you, He'd already taken y'all home. Now realize God's not done with you yet. Yeah, but Brother Jerry, if you knew the whole story, I said God's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. If you have life, He's not done with you yet. I'm going to expound upon that in the next point. So let's go ahead. Number 7, remember this. Oh, this is something so important that you remember. You know, folks, getting through the darkness is having a... The main battle is in the mind. The main battle is keeping a biblical perspective of what's happening. So let me give you this. Remember this. Now is temporary. Eternity is forever. Now is temporary, eternity is forever. Look at what David says in the first phrase of verse number 7. He shall abide before God forever. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about the king's life. He's talking about himself. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God's going to prolong my days. This isn't the end. I'm going to get through this, come out of this. And God's going to be able to use me in a way he's never used me before because I went through this. So he's not done. And then he said, thought this. He said, you know what? There is going to be a day, though, that I will have to leave this earth and I'll abide before God forever. But why did he say that right there? Because he's reminding himself that word forever is key. You see, let me give you something. Don't make a poor decision. Don't self-destruct in the dark, in the temporary life, and then have a whole eternity to regret the fact that you didn't stay faithful while you were here on this earth. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Can I give you this? The darkness that you're in, it's not permanent. It's temporary. Don't throw away things that you're going to want to be able to say when you're in heaven. Don't throw away some things that you're going to want to have done once you're in heaven. Right now, it's temporary. Henry Ward Beecher, I read this and I thought, wow, not only am I going to write this down for this message, I'm going to put this where I can read it often. Henry Ward Beecher said, living is death, dying is life. On this side of the grave, we are exiles. On the other side, we're citizens. On this side of the grave, we're orphans. On the other side, we're children. On this side, captivities. Or captives. On the other side, we're free men. On this side, we're disguised and unknown. On that side, we'll be disclosed and proclaimed as the sons of God. You know what David was saying? When he's in the darkness and he wants to quit, he wants to throw in the towel, he wants to curse God and die. He said, you know what? What I'm going through is just for a little while. But one of these days, I'm going to stand in the presence of God, and that's going to be a forever situation. So I don't want to throw away something precious now just because I'm going through something temporary and regret it for all eternity. Well, that's good, isn't it? See, brother, sister in Christ, listen to me. You stand in the darkness for a while, but you stand before God forever. Take heed what you do in the darkness. Pastor Ross used to say, live your life with your eye on the judgment seat. Why did he tell you that? He told you that because there's going to be some times that you want to quit because of temporary circumstances. But you know what? You ought to think, you know what? One of these days when I'm standing before God and I'm answering for this part of my life, I want to be able to look at the Lord and give a good report and say, I stayed faithful during that time, Lord. Even when I didn't feel like it, I remembered that this day would come where I would have to answer. So I stayed faithful during this time. You not sacrifice the joy of hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because of a few days of temptation and testing. Don't throw that away. That's more important than what you're going through right now. How many of you ever heard of John Bishop? You ever heard of John Bishop, the evangelist? Anybody? Few people? An amazing man. He was there earlier this month in the church that I preached in this past week. He was supposed to be, I'm going to tell you who he is. This is important. Listen, I'm saying this for a reason. He was supposed to be at the men's retreat over at Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp. He fights health issues and he had to cancel some of his meetings because it was taking a toll on him. So he's not going to be there. So Brother Kevin calls up and says, on short notice, could you come preach the men's retreat later on this month on a Friday night, Saturday morning? I said, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. My first thought when I hung up was, great. John Bishop was going to be there. I hope he didn't advertise that. S.M. Davis called me about three or four or five, I don't remember, several years ago, the last minute, Lincoln, Illinois. He said, I was supposed to have David Gibbs come and preach a two-day youth conference. He canceled on me at the last second. Could you come? And I went, okay. Then I hung up and thought, oh no. because they've been advertising this for months. I walked into the motel where I was supposed to check in. He gave me directions. I drove over there, walked in the motel to check in, and I said, I'm here for the, I can't remember the name of the church off the top of my head, but I'm here for the youth conference. I'm the guest speaker. And so the lady that was there, and when I walked in to check in, there was a van load of people that were coming to the conference that were coming behind me. They're all standing in the line behind me. So I walk in and I say, I need a room. I'm the guest speaker for the conference over here at the Park Meadows Baptist Church. So she shuffles some paper, and I hear people behind me kind of whispering. And so she looks up and says, are you David Gibbs? And I really just wanted to say yes. Because if I say no, this lady's going to say, no, well, we don't have a room for you. It's for David Gibbs. If you're not David Gibbs, you don't get the room. And she wasn't told about this thing. And I thought, so I want to say yes, but I got all these people behind me that's come that I know who David Gibbs is. So I see them kind of looking at me. I'm glad they're looking at me like, why is he trying to take David Gibbs' room? You know, why is he lying and telling them he's the guest speaker for this week? So finally I said, no, I'm not David Gibbs. So then she looks at me and I said, ma'am, I said, David Gibbs was supposed to speak at this conference. I'm speaking instead. And I heard everybody in line behind me go, oh. Now that's a blessing. That's an encouragement. I wanted to say, you know what? Forget the room. I'm going home. That's what I wanted to say. John Bishop, it would not be known, I think, outside of Arkansas. And yet, I have had preachers tell me that right now, when I ask them, preachers ask this question a lot, who could I have to come into my church that I mean right now in their life, buddy, the touch of God's on their life? And if I ask that to 10 independent fundamental Baptist preachers, I'll bet you 9 of them would say, you ought to have John Bishop in. I had one guy, actually more than one preacher, say, I don't know of a man in America whom God is using in a more powerful way than John Bishop. Say, who's John Bishop? John Bishop was a little-known pastor with a small Christian camp down in Rosebud, Arkansas, doing a work for God, you know, being used. But God said, I want to use you bigger. I want to do more. So God probably had a conversation about John Bishop, like with the devil, that was about the same type of conversation he had about Job. And so God opened the hedge a little and said, okay, I'll allow you to do these many things. And John Bishop was struck down with a septic meningitis in October 1995. Now, if you go on his website, he's got a ministry now called God is So Good Ministries. God is So Good Ministries. And if you click on the tab that says biography, I'm going to read what he wrote. And I know he wrote this because of the wording and because he signed it. Let me tell you, instead of telling the whole thing, let me just read what he wrote. Biography of Brother John, it says at the bottom. I came down with a septic meningitis in October 1995. Because of some unusual and puzzling circumstances, I lost all of my memory. And when he said he lost all of his memory, he means all of his memory. I mean, he didn't know how to eat. He didn't know how to write. He didn't know anybody around him. They had to take him like he was a newborn, not just, I can drive a car and I can walk around and I can carry on a conversation, but I don't remember people. He didn't know how to talk. He didn't know how to speak. I mean, nothing. Whatever you're thinking of, yeah, he didn't know how to do that. He knew nothing. And his wife and the therapist basically had to start over with this grown adult man who was a pastor and begin like he was a newborn. And he had to be retaught everything. So I wanted you to understand when he said that, what he meant. Now let me go on. I have had to learn how to read and write along with everything else all over again. And that does mean everything else. My motor skills were also affected, which resulted in me having to learn to walk and talk as well. I still have many physical limitations, but God has helped me so wonderfully. I love Him dearly, and I love hurting people. I tell people I may have to be sick, but I don't have to be grouchy about it. Then he wrote this, "I have a good time!" Exclamation point. I now travel as an evangelist around America telling people how good the Lord is, especially when you're hurting. I call my ministry God Is So Good Ministries. I'm located here in Rosebud, Arkansas, population 420, when everybody's home. Then he wrote this. By the way, if you've seen him, if I brought him in that door right now, I'd have to go over and help him on the platform because he just lost his sight within the last 3 months. He lost his sight. I had to help him on the platform. His wife has to travel with him, take care of him. He wrote this, "I have a wonderful wife I call my Donna." That's a beautiful story. When they were telling him, well, let me read it. "I have a wonderful wife I call my Donna that has been so good to help me through all the many trials we have gone through. I had even forgotten that we were married, or even what marriage was. But once I found out what it was, I sure did like it. God still helps me with daily battle, with pain in the form of back problems and severe headaches. God helped me to focus on two of God's attributes in particular that helped me through our darkest hours. God is always good, and God is always right. God is always good, and God is always right. God is always good, and God is always right. I hope I'll be a blessing to you and others through this website. You can learn more of God's help and goodness to me and others through materials offered on the site. God is so good, Brother John." I asked a bunch of preachers. By the way, I clicked on this. There's a health update. And he has this where he updates his health because even though he's recuperated at a certain point, this thing is probably going to kill him eventually. This is the health update. My blindness continues, but I have improved slightly in the left eye and I'm getting better at doing things by myself. God is so good to enable me to do so, to do some things I didn't think I could do 2 months ago. I do desire your prayers for me when I have a tooth implant, which I dread. It is necessary to do this because I have broken so many teeth during seizures over the years. Please pray. My headaches are still horrendous at times, but God's grace is still so wonderful. God is so good. Brother John, excuse me, what was your problem again? Excuse me? You know, God saw a preacher down in Rosebud, Arkansas, that was having some effect, that was helping some people, that was reaching some for Christ, that was being some encouragement. And God said, "I'm going to allow you to be overwhelmed." Now folks, we can read in a few minutes what took months and years for him to be able to master again. And you think there wasn't times during those dark, dark times where he didn't just want to get mad at God and get bitter and quit? And yet he went through the darkness into the light, and now God says, "I can use you." If he came to this pulpit, he wouldn't be able to speak in complete sentences. It would take you 4 or 5 minutes just to get... How many heard him preach before? Am I telling the truth? He'd say, I glad be here. When they were teaching him what wife meant and what marriage meant, it finally clicked that this lady that's been helping him is his wife. And he said, "You my wife?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, I smiled and said, "My Donna." And that's why he, even to this day, calls her my Donna. My Donna. Are you listening to me? Why don't you let God off the hook? Why don't you understand God's never taken you through anything in life that He did not allow so that you could come out the other side and tell everybody God is good and God is right? I mean, folks, you say, "Well, I don't understand why." Well, God will show you why one of these days. You don't have to understand why. Remember, the now is temporary, the eternity is forever. And Brother John Bishop could have got mad and bitter and quit on God and held a grudge. But you know what? He said, "God's done this so that I can then help more people than I've ever helped or would have ever helped if I didn't have to go through this darkness." Man, that's encouraging to me. So remember, now is temporary, but eternity is forever. Let me give you number 8. Well, this is good. Wish we had it. This probably ought to be a whole message, but I'm just going to give it to you and move on. Look at the next verse. It says in verse number 7, he shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Let me give you this. I'm going to have to let the Holy Spirit apply it to your life. Number 8, when you're going through times where you're overwhelmed, check. You need to stop and you need to check the balance in your life of mercy and truth. You need to check the balance of mercy and truth. Now this is such an important concept. How do I get this across in a few minutes? Please pray right now and ask God to help me to help you. Let me tell you why God allows us to be overwhelmed. There's 2 great reasons. Number 1, He wants us to learn more about His mercy. And number 2, He wants us to embrace some great truth. You know what John Bishop embraced? God is always good and God is always right. And he's gone all over this country helping a bunch of hurting people by telling them God is always good and God is always right. He learned some things about God. Now, I believe that God allows us to be overwhelmed because we have problems in our Christian life staying balanced. Let me have you read a few verses with me, and I hope they'll be a help. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 1. I believe if you as a Christian, if I as a Christian, will learn to balance in our life mercy and truth, and if you want to do a thorough study of this, maybe sometime down the road I'll preach on it, but just type in, if you've got a program, computer program, Bible program, just preach, type in mercy and truth. Hit the search button. There'll be 10 verses that contain that phrase, mercy and truth. If you'll read and study those verses, it'll change your life. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, our biggest problem in our Christian life is learning to balance in our life and to understand and to balance, have a balanced view of God's truth and God's mercy. God's truth and God's mercy. Let me have you go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and let's read what David wrote. By the way, the comments that were just written a few minutes ago was written by David's son. I wonder if he learned that from his daddy. Psalm 86 and verse number 6. Psalm 86, 6. Notice this. It says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, sounds like that overwhelming time, I will call upon thee. Thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy ways. You know what he was saying right there? Before he started complaining or trying to ask an answer, he established firmly that God was God and he had every right to be and he had every right to make any decision he wanted to make. Then he says in verse 11, teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. So David's going through this dark time. He said, God, number one, you know what? You're in charge and you can do whatever you want and you're always good and you're always right. Now teach me something that you're trying to teach me. That's what he says in this next verse. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, for thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, but have not set thee, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in what? So you know what? When you go through times of being overwhelmed, there's 2 things that you need to do. You first of all need to say, God, what great truth do you want me to learn? What great truth do I need to embrace? And then, Lord, I want to learn about the character of mercy. I want to learn a little bit about your mercy. Here's my problem as an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Sometimes I get so honed in on the truth And I preach the truth so hard, and I stand it. And by the way, we have to stand for the truth. We have to contend for the faith. We have to fight for what's right. And I don't ever want to let up on that. And that's why it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. Listen, you don't have to take off truth when you put on mercy. But when you put on the truth, you better put on mercy with it. And sometimes we're so staunch in our beliefs and so steadfast, and we ought to be. But we forget that we're dealing with just people. We're all dust. Sometimes we're so judgmental of everybody around us, it doesn't measure up to our standards. We see people go through hard times. Well, bless God, they just need to. Well, you know what? You go through those hard times. I mean, tape record yourself, because you might need to listen to what you need to do later on. And the honest truth is, folks, the truth of God never changes, and God wants to confirm the truth in our life, but He also wants to teach us a level of mercy that we need in dealing with people and dealing with ourselves. So as you're going through this time of being overwhelmed, maybe God's trying to short some truth that you haven't embraced. Or maybe you are one of those that embrace strongly the truth, but He's trying to teach you some mercy that you need to learn. So check the balance of mercy and truth. Let me give you the last two real quickly. Are we back in Psalm 61? This is a simple one. Number 9, start singing. We need to start singing. I don't have anything to sing about. Sing anyway. Look at verse number 2. How many of you know the chorus? Scripture song from verse number 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Sing it with me. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed. How many of you have never heard that before? Would you raise your hand? How many know that song? We've got to learn it. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed. Brother Jerry, I'm in the dark. I don't know my left, my right. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do tomorrow. I don't know what to do in the next 5 minutes. I don't know what to do in the next second. I don't know which way's up, which way's down. I've never seen anything like this. Not seen. Isn't it interesting? The one man that wrote the most about being overwhelmed also is the one that penned the phrase and taught us the concept of songs in the night. Thank God for Christians that can sing in the nighttime. Lester Roloff was a singing preacher. He also spent a lot of time in the darkness. He also spent a lot of time being overwhelmed. He also spent a lot of time being attacked. He also spent a lot of time being falsely accused. He also spent some time in jail as a preacher, because he wouldn't take a license from the state for his children's home. He used to say, don't come in my church and sing on Sunday morning when the sun's shining if you can't sing on Monday when the clothesline breaks. Now we got to interpret that for this next generation. When the microwave won't work. You know what he was saying? He was saying, listen, the world doesn't just need to see you sing on Sunday morning. They need to see Christians sing when they're in the darkness. I mean, listen, go talk to Brother Peter and Brother John in the prison there when they're beaten and they're bloody, and you know what? They begin to sing. Talk to Paul and Silas in the prison when they're beaten and bloody, but they start to sing anyway. See what happens. Revival breaks out. Sing. 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 There's been time. Look, Brother Jerry, I can't. What do you mean sing? I can't even see. You don't have to see to sing. I can't even speak. You know what? You can sing when you can't speak. Amen. This whole world needs to hear a bunch of singing Christians that are singing right out of the darkness. You see, the world's not impressed with my faith when I'm on the mountaintop. They want to take a look at my faith when I'm in the valley. Isn't that good? Let me give you this last thought, and we're done. So will I sing praises in thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let me give you the last one. If you do all of these 10 things, if you'll follow this simple formula going through, times when you're overwhelmed, you'll come out on the bright side. You will. Number 10 is very important. Let me give it to you. Do, Christians, listen to me. Do your duty. Do your duty. I don't feel like. Do your duty. I'm hurting. Do it hurting. I'm confused. Do your duty. You know what David said? He went through all of these emotions, all this trauma, all of this complaint before God, and then at the end of it he said this, you know what? That I may, and I love that next word, daily. You know what he said? He said, you know what? I don't even know what's going on in my life anymore. I don't know where God is. I don't know which. But you know what? I know enough to know what my duty is. And daily. You know what that meant? He said, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to stay faithful before God. I like that. You know, Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. By the way, there's no asterisk by that that says unless you're hurting, unless you don't feel like it, unless you're going through a hard time, unless you're under attack by somebody. You know what it says? It says, fear God and keep His commandments. That's your duty. We don't preach enough about duty. We don't know enough about duty. I mean, you take duty out of our armed forces, and you know what? You'll have an army of cowards. You think our men in World War I, you think our men in World War II, you think our men in all of the wars that were sitting on the front lines and was given the command to charge? I mean, folks, read about D-Day. And those boats are unloading and soldiers are being unloaded into the teeth of enemy fire. And a boat unloads and another boat unloads and most of them don't even make it to the shore. And now it's your boat's turn, and the door opens, and it opens to an ocean front and a beach littered with bodies. And you think that your natural inclination is going to be to charge out of that into the face of the enemy? Then why did they do it? Because it was their duty. Because Hitler needed to be stopped. We need that in Christianity.
Well, I don't feel like it. Well, somebody said something and I just don't want to go to church anymore.
You coward. You think Jesus felt like getting beat with a cat of nine tails? You think Jesus felt like standing there when he could have with one whisper called down the powers of heaven and destroyed this earth? You think he felt like it? Who spit in your face lately? Who took a crown of thorns and beat it into your brow lately? You know what he did on that day he died on the cross? He did his duty! He did his duty. I like this kind of preaching. We need some toughness back in Christianity. I'm all for being understanding. I'm all for being kind. But there comes a point in time that no matter what you go through, listen. Stand up. Play the man. Live for God. You do it. You know why? Because it's right to do. Because God's commanded us to do it. Because it's our duty to do it. That's why we do it. So when you're being overwhelmed, remember these things. And I think God will help you to get where you need to to be. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and do something powerful in our lives. Lord, we need soldiers in the battle. We need Christian servants on the front line. And Lord, we need a God that gives us strength even though we're oftentimes so frail. I pray, Lord, for those that may be in this room that are going through some unbelievable things and have been maybe for some time. They've been in the darkness a long time. I pray, Lord, that we've helped them a little bit. Lord, help them understand that what's really happened is that they're being crucified. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Help us, Lord, to let die what needs to die and let be broken what needs to be broken. And thank God when we get down to the point where all we have is you. There's nothing else left. Help us to cling on, wrap on, hold on. Trust, follow, commit. Lord, take everything away, but don't take yourself. Give us more of you. Strengthen, Lord. Encourage. Shore up. Bless. In a special way, these that have heard this message today and those that will hear it on the radio next week and those that will hear it on the internet in the weeks to come, I pray, God, that somebody will be helped. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.